Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, and welcome to an encore presentation of Databank Brawl. This is a show we started way back in 2016 and ran all the way through early 2020. The episodes are buried deep in our archives, so we are re-releasing them, starting with episode one.
If you've never heard Databank Brawl, here's the deal. We pick two characters from the Star Wars databank and then make up a deadly fight between them. Pain, shame, and comedy ensue.
Yes, we hope you enjoy the jokes we made on purpose and the random comments about the future of Star Wars, which are now hilariously outdated. So with no further ado, here is Databank Brawl Rewind. As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, share our feelings, and then make them fight for our amusement. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is Mr. Ken Knapsack.
I am so happy to be back. I got my fighting shoes on.
You ready to dance and spar and punch and narrate?
Got excellent. My force pike. I'm ready.
Your electro staff. You got all sorts of sticks.
I'm a regular Magna Guard.
Nice. And with us here as well, it's always a great pleasure when you can be here, our other main co-host here on Force Center, Jennifer Landa.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm getting into my boxing stance.
Okay. Yeah, Jennifer is actually punching the air. I think this is going to be our most violent episode of Databank Brawl ever.
This is good.
It's been a great thrill to do these shows. We've done a lot. They've gotten a little ridiculous. They've gotten very ridiculous.
Chopper Cape is still my favorite.
Yeah, oh Chopper my. Cape was pretty...
Matt nailed it with that.
Yeah, Matt Belknap putting that cape on Chopper is one of the most beautiful moments of my life. My marriage and Chopper Cape. Beautiful moments in my life. When we first started this show, in my mind, I thought it would be a little bit more like, we kind of debate who would win. Maybe we give it some context. And it's developed in this beautiful way to be a unique show where we create kind of this improv scenario of exactly where the characters are, how they're feeling, the circumstances. Of their fight. And we've been exploring a lot of the weirder characters, smaller characters in Star Wars. And as Ken says, I'm deep in the Star Wars bubble here, but for this week's episode, these characters aren't as obscure or weird.
Ooh.
We might be learning a little bit more about them, but they're characters who are already close to our hearts. So this one's gonna hurt because somebody's gotta lose. We've had a tie recently, so I can't allow another tie this week. So one of these beloved characters will fall.
Oh, no.
On Databank Brawl here today, our first person who might fall is not a person. I misspoke. He is a Trandoshan. He is Bossk.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I know. It's okay. Hard. It's hard. It's hard.
Okay.
So here, as you guys know who've been listening, what we do here on Databank Brawl is it's called Databank because we pull the information about the characters straight off of StarWars.com Databank. So here is what Databank says about Bossk. One of the most feared bounty hunters of the galaxy, Bossk used his natural Trandoshan hunting instincts to capture his prey. During the Clone Wars, the red-eyed reptilian partnered with Aurra Sing, Castus, and young Boba Fett. Boss didn't care much for vendettas or politics. He was in it to get paid. That's not how it ends. I wish it was. He's in it to get paid. And that's just the end of the entry. No, it continues. After a brief stint in a Republic prison, Boss continued his partnership with Fett, becoming a bodyguard to the teen bounty hunter. Decades later, Bossk answered Darth Vader's call to capture the Millennium Falcon after the Battle of Hoth, an assignment that put him in direct competition with Boba. So a lot of interesting stuff there. Yep. Bossk is an interesting figure because they had built up a lot about him in the expanded universe that was really quite insulting. So now, in the new canon, Bossk can get some redemption.
Yeah, absolutely. He is 1.90 meters tall. His mass is 113 kilograms. Eye color orange, skin color green, and jumpsuit yellow.
I wish they had a jumpsuit color entry for every character, regardless of where they, whether or not they actually wore a jumpsuit.
Just one. Like,
if Han did wear a jumpsuit, what color would it be? Maroon? Burnt umber? Who knows? We'll start with you, Ken. What are your memories? What's your relationship to Bossk?
It's still developing. It's interesting.
Okay.
I definitely grew up. Empire is obviously my favorite Star Wars movie now, but I grew up as a Jedi guy. But one of the reasons early on I really enjoyed Empire was I loved the bounty hunter scene. It fascinated me that in this cold, sleek Imperial world with a bunch of white British dudes in crisp, clean outfits, that there was kind of these different kind of creatures.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I always thought as a kid, he reminded me of some of the aliens in Enemy Mine, the Lewis Gossett Jr.
Quaid movie.
He just had this weird look and he stood out. And I was fascinated that at that young age, that an alien, a lizard looking guy, did, all jokes aside, had this like yellow X-wing fighter pilot kind of outfit.
Yeah.
On.
Mm.
So it spoke to me that there was other species who could wear the same things that Luke and Biggs did. And I liked that. So I had an emotional impression. I actually don't. If you 3 months ago would have said, what is Bossk's species?
Yeah.
I couldn't have told you he was a Trandoshan.
Okay.
Couldn't have. Despite all my alleged Star Wars knowledge, I don't know. He's a lizard man. But I was driving to Vegas to go to Wizard World Vegas. And my friend Jessica and I are riding out. And to pass the time, we're playing 20 questions like a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Okay.
And going through, and she's got the answer, and I'm guessing. And I'm whittling down these questions, and I figure out it's like something in the Star Wars universe, but I can't solve it. And she's like, come on. She's like angry at me. Like, how can you not get this? And finally, it turns out the answer was Trandoshans.
Mm.
And
wow.
I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, Bossk, he's a Trandoshan. I was trying to have you, I couldn't even comprehend. I was blown away. She was blown away that I didn't know it because she thought I was impressive before. Now I'm not. And I will never, ever forget that Bossk is a Trandoshan now.
So now you have there's some Bossk anger.
There's some Bossk anger.
There's some real world emotions
he
attached
cost
to
me
Bossk.
Some pride.
Bossk hurt your pride. How about you, Jennifer? What's your emotional relationship with Bossk?
Well, as of recently, I think of Rusty Miller calling him a baggy face.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Remember that? Which I would have never thought, as I claimed his face. Skin looks very taut. When I was a child, I was fascinated with him for the very reason that you said, Ken. Yeah. It's like I wanted to know what his backstory was, and the fact that he was, you know, lined up with these guys and just a part of it, just another bounty hunter. I thought that was so cool that this reptilian creature was just a part of the mix. That's the beauty of Star Wars, of course, that I loved.
Yeah,
I still love today. I was terrified of him. Actually,
he's scary.
He's
legit scary looking.
I would not want to cross him. So I'm scared on who his opponent is going to be. They're going to get mauled. That's
okay.
What I'm thinking.
Okay. Yeah. I have many strong feelings about Bossk. I'll keep it short. But I mean, I think in Empire, yes, everything that you guys have said. But in that very, very short bounty hunter scene, he has one of the few like specific unique shots. Of, you know, it's his claw that's over into the data pit that we now know it's called the data pit.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, we don't need that scum. And he growls at him and like, oh, that's a moment where.
Yeah.
You know, we were told the Empire was racist, but then we saw some actual racism.
It's class warfare.
Right. Yeah, class warfare. Like, we don't need this lowly Trandoshan. Yeah. We're humans, you know. And then I think I've mentioned before in Force Center World that a lot of my early Star Wars relationship is a lot about my brother. My brother and I would pick characters. And if they're two characters too similar, you know, we would claim them. He was a Spock guy. I was a Kirk guy. He was a Han guy. I was a Luke guy. We shared He-Man, but that was about it. Actually, no, I had He-Man. He had Man-at-Arms. Anyway. He was Boba Fett, so I was Bossk. Because Bossk back in the day was like he's the second most prominent bounty hunter. Actually, the way it's shot,
right?
Yep.
Interesting.
And he was by far the to me one of the coolest looking action figures. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the day of Empire Strikes Back, when the action figures weren't as developed, the more alien the creature was, the better the action figure looked. His little claw had to be twisted in this weird way to support his very unique rifle that only he had, his weird space rifle. So I love Bossk. And then I was annoyed in when I read the Expanded Universe novels. There's this bounty hunter war that is basically just, it's Boba Fett as Gary Stu, the male version of Mary Stu, where Boba Fett is just better than everybody at everything.
Right.
And Bossk is the victim of it the whole time. Like, Bossk always shows up second. He's like, Boba Fett leaves bombs everywhere, and Bossk's like, watch this, Boba Fett! Like, he's just made a fool of it. Like, damn it, Bossk shouldn't be just a fool. And then, you know, he's in the Clone Wars. There's a great, trail of episodes where he hunts people, and he's back to being...
And he's in Rebels, too, as well, working with Ezra for an episode.
Yeah, growling, great, bad villain. So I have strong feelings about Bossk. I want him validated. I think he deserves to be feared.
Mm. Gotcha. So you're going in with a little bit of bias.
I am. A little bit of Bossk bias. But to be fair, this next competitor I love very much. Oh, did you have a quote for Bossk? You sometimes find a nice quote for us.
The quote is, and it kind of sets up what Bossk's, their impressions of him. Well, I'm just guessing, sir, but I couldn't help noticing that your ship is equipped with missile launchers as well as quad cannons, and that Imperials seem very interested in your arrival. And given the size of your mortar gun and the way you don't mince words, it's my impression that you're a professional bounty hunter. Ezra Bridger.
Did he really say all that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
Little Basil exposition there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A little bit of Rick O'Lee, right? Yeah. That's great.
It's Bossk.
Now, there is bias. I set up just a mean episode of Databank Brawl here, friends. I apologize because our next person is someone we all love too. Our next opponent is Salacious B. Crumb.
What?
I know.
Cruel,
I know. This is just cruel. This is cruel. I must have had a rough week. This is mean.
Yeah.
Here is what Star Wars Databank has to say about Salacious B. Crumb. A Kowakian monkey lizard. God, I love the term monkey lizard.
Right.
A Kowakian monkey lizard with a shrill cackle, Salacious Crumb sat on Jabba's dais, stealing bits of food and mimicking the Hutt, his courtiers, and visitors. The Hutt's noxious pet was the palace's unofficial court jester, tolerated because his antics amused Jabba and because of his unwavering support for his master. So there's some fresh information in there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
He is 0.7 meters tall, hair color red, eye color yellow, skin color brown. Jumpsuit, I think, would have been taupe.
Taupe, yeah.
See-through. I do have a quote about him.
Mm.
If you value that creature's life, you should tell it to never again do that in my presence. Darth Vader to Jabba.
Oh.
And that's canon.
Oh, really?
I do believe that came from one of the early issues of Darth Vader.
Really? So
Vader goes to Hutt.
And Salacious is trying some of his court jester humor on Darth Vader.
Just playing the fool.
Oh, yeah, and that's not to be done at that point. Yeah, so we'll start with you, Jennifer, because I know you have emotions.
Oh, my gosh, I am part of the Sally B. Crumb Club. There's like two of us that are members. You can join us. Yeah. I love him with all of my being. I just, looking at him right now, I mean, that face.
Oh, so that I'm on some website. That,
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
That's Ezra Bridger giving us information about Salacious Drum.
Gotta love pop-up ads.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, but I do love him, and I don't want to see him fight. But I do think he has a wit to him.
His
sense of humor is going to be an asset. I've always wanted to know his backstory and get to know more about him and his life. Well, they went into that a little bit with the expanded universe, I believe.
We're in the canon world.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. That's later.
Let me ask you. When you were a kid and you were growing up with Jedi, did you attach to him emotionally?
Yes. His laugh. It's infectious, and just that there was something that could make Jabba laugh.
Yeah.
That is a tough task. But this little Kowakian monkey lizard did it. That's a skill.
Could you refresh my memory, Jennifer? How did his laugh go? Thank you. Thank you.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think there's a true power to him because most of the time he's not necessarily doing a lot funny in Jedi. He's just laughing at our hero's pain. And we're still like, we love this guy. Yeah. What a great guy. He's laughing as our heroes fail.
And he hurts 3PO, man.
Yeah.
There's 3PO, the little shit. Yeah.
He eats his eye just for fun.
It's just for kicks.
I'm looking at that headshot he's got on the databank page. It is pretty fast.
What was your emotional reaction? Same.
Love Salacious B. Crumb.
Yeah, you loved him.
It's my friend Megan's favorite character in the Star Wars world. She is a Sally B. Crumb fan.
Second member of the Crumb Club.
Yeah. I got to say, I love him. I grew up loving that character. It was also one of the first characters at the time that you felt you knew something other people didn't, when you could be like, oh, that's Salacious B. Crumb.
Very true.
Yeah.
It was one of the early ones. And some people be like, oh, Salacious Crumb. And it's like, excuse me, there's a B there.
That's so true. That was a source of pride for me growing up as a kid. I would kind of be like, oh, yeah, that character.
It's great. And I love, you know, I have the Black Series Jabba Comic-Con exclusive that came with the Jabba's little setup there, and I love that I got myself a Black Series Sally B. And it's one of those characters. So I did have a connection to this guy, and I liked him, and he was a bad guy.
Yeah,
I would be happy to see or hear that he survived.
Well, here I've got some headcanon because, this is a true story of my youth. I was walking along and suddenly, was stricken by the thought of, wait a minute, the whole sail barge blew up. That means Salacious B. Crumb, too. That can't be. So I imagined exactly how it worked, that he jumped up into the rafters at a taller place where it was some of the bigger wreckage that we see explode out. He was riding. So maybe he got singed, but he did not get obliterated down to his atoms.
I accept that.
Is it like the urban legends when someone rode the debris all the way down on the Titanic or something like that? That's right.
He rode the door like Rose in the Titanic.
Great.
So I think he's robbed. I'm not familiar with his expanded universe, expanded universe stories.
Wasn't it in the old Jabba comics?
Yeah, there's the comics. There's the Tales of Jabba's Palace.
I bet that
he was featured in. I don't know if it was in canon that he survived back then.
Yeah, I can't remember. But you know what else I really liked about him as a kid was that he looked like a Muppet.
Yes.
He looked from, even the world of Labyrinth and stuff like that. So he felt very familiar to me as a child.
He looked like the Henson Muppets that were on the first season of Saturday Night Live. Oh. You ever seen? Go back and look those up. There were these Muppets that were set on another planet, the alien kind of things, and it kind of remind. I'm looking at that picture now, and it's just like. But even that picture, he's a Muppet and a puppet.
Yep,
he's got personality in
this. Look at that charm.
He has a ton. Yeah, if you don't normally look at StarWars.com, you owe it to yourself to look his profile up in databank, because usually they pull a screen grab, and this is just him against a white backdrop, like his headshot, like you guys said. I'm going to audition for this Great Clips commercial. Yeah. It's amazing. But you guys talking about it made me think that the court jester thing makes sense to me. He's never officially said court jester, and he is an unofficial court jester according to text. But maybe what is powerful to him, especially to kids, is a good clown is the knowing fool. Where they know what's really going on, and they wink at you, and nobody respects us. Yeah. We're the underdogs, but we understand. And, yeah. you know, so maybe he really related to that kid's perspective of like, you guys all think we're dumb, but we know what's really going on. And maybe that's what gives Salacious some of his power.
He's also part of one of my favorite moments in Star Wars, and it's such a tiny little moment, is when he's sitting there in Jabba's tail's wagon.
Right.
And he's staring. Just studying it with his head's kind of waving back and forth. Like, what's going on there?
Okay, yeah. So I just want him to win. I'm sorry. This is not, I don't want him to get hurt.
All right. Okay. Well, let's. Anything else that we need to add? Do we have a quote for Salacious B. Crumb? I think Jennifer nailed it.
Just the Vader one, but
The Vader one. Yeah,
the Vader one. Yeah, yeah, I think we're good.
All right. In that case, this is horrible, but let's fight.
All right. This happens after the events of Return of the Jedi, because I don't know if you know this, Joseph, but your dreams did come true.
They did.
Salacious B. Crumb did survive.
Oh, good.
He had made his way out. He, again, is a knowing fool, like you said. He sensed something was coming. He escaped and was walking away, however he walks. So he survived.
Jennifer, how does he walk? Does he use his tail?
You know, that's what I'm trying to think.
Does he scamper across the ground?
Scamper.
Okay. Yeah.
Skitter, perhaps.
So he's skittering across the sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Bosk, and there's some picture. I'm looking at a picture of him now that he might have been on Jabba's sail barge.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, so he's out too, though. I think, again, he doesn't care about vendetta or politics.
Yeah.
Once stuff started going awry, he was like, I'm done.
He wants to get paid.
Right. He wants to get paid. And he saw Boba Fett die, and he's like, I'm too old for this bleep. And so he left.
Oh, he's retiring.
He's gone. So this is to set up the battle. Okay. So a couple years later, after the fall of the Empire, things are settling down, but the criminal element is kind of being swept away in the New Republic. But over in Mos Espa, the bigger city next to Mos Eisley, of course, Bosk wandered in for a drink at a cantina, not unlike the cantina bar that we're familiar with in A New Hope, but not quite as big and all-encompassing as Maz Kanata's castle. He walks in, he's there, he orders a drink, and he hears a cackle in the background. Turns around, and there is this Kowakian monkey lizard that he knows too well, sitting on a table, on a table in the far corner. And that is where Bosk and Salacious B. Crumb begin to face off.
Yeah, I think that Salacious's power is that he knows he can ingratiate himself to powerful figures. Mm. And then once under their protection, much like a court jester under a king in the real world, then protected. So I think maybe this cantina in Mos Espa is owned by somebody powerful.
Yeah.
And Salacious has... installed himself is the unnecessary court jester of the bar, where he just feels his days. He gets food, he gets fed, he gets shelter, and he mocks people.
People know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean people like him, but they know him.
But they know him. And he's always at that table perched on a pillow. He's holding court with his people, you know?
Yeah.
So he's basically like an open mic night all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And he's in his own way telling tales of Jabba's palace.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. And I think though, well, okay, I won't jump ahead.
No, go ahead.
So Bosk walks over. I'm going to say slinks over. He's a reptile. Slinks over. He doesn't like that cackle.
No.
But I don't know what's setting him off today. Why today?
Well, it was a random coincidence, unless you believe the power of the midichlorians, that this happened. And it's been a couple years after, Jennifer, lest you not forget here. Like, this has been simmering in the back of his mind. You're right. He wants to get paid. He wasn't paid by Jabba for his part in the tracking of Han Solo, which, as a lot of people don't know, he tipped off Boba Fett by saying, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll be flying on around this Imperial cruiser. I don't even know if I'm going to leave.
Right.
Boba Fett was like, ding, idea, stole it, got there first. Mm-hmm. Bosk actually flew his ship to kind of hide in the trash. Boba Fett was already there. The boss said, all right, I'm out. So he always felt owed a little bit there, and that's why he went to Jabba's palace. Sure, Boba Fett's got your little new favorite decoration. I helped in this, too.
I want to get paid.
Jabba never believed it, and so to this day, never been paid.
What if – I think that's great that he's got some financial concerns with Salacious B. Crumb. Maybe there's even a bounty on Salacious Crumb.
Oh,
that makes some sense.
Yeah, right. Maybe this is going way out there. This is okay. Experimental, but maybe R2 is like, no, everybody who is on that sail barge needs to pay, and R2 put a bounty out on Salacious Crumb. Salacious kind of effed with R2 too.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And he's like, no, because R2, I'm starting to think that he's a little more devious sometimes than we give him credit for. It. He's resourceful, but I think also he's devious. He never bothered to tell Leia, Organa, or Luke about their father.
Yeah.
I think he's a little devious, so I think maybe without telling anybody, he stuck his little appendage into a data port and put a bounty out on Salacious.
Under like an assumed identity. So,
oh, yeah, I think R5-D4.
Yeah, I think he tried. I think he tried to like, it was like Chopper 1 or something, Chopper 2. He tried to blame it on his old nemesis. So yeah, that's why. So Bossk has a skin in this game.
Sure.
He wants money. There's a bounty.
Yeah.
And he approaches him and says, you know, I'm here for my money. Fights on.
Right.
So yeah, you think just immediately. Yeah, I think that Salacious knows that this is maybe a problem that he can't mock his way out of. Maybe the owner of the cantina is out. And maybe, do you think that Salacious just strikes right away, Jennifer, as president of the fan club?
You know, I'm almost wondering now, does he speak a language besides the laughing? I kind of want, just for this instance here, for him to do a little smack talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, demonstrate that.
I don't know how it's going to be a really high-pitched voice. Or maybe almost like a Rizzo the Rat.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So like what kind of sick burns does he offer about Bosk's appearance?
I'm terrible at
comebacks. Does he call him baggy-faced like Rusty Miller's 1983 quiz book?
Hey, baggy-face.
Yeah, and maybe takes a shot at his yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Nice jumpsuit. Yeah. Oh, sorry,
you're officially Salacious B. Crumb for this episode.
Yeah. This is good.
So, yeah, I think it's – but I don't think Salacious B. Crumb fights right away.
No. Okay.
He's smart enough to know he can't win this. He felt confident with 3PO, but 3PO was already on the ground at that point. So I think he tries to move Shake behind the pillows. He tries to maybe find some coverage, some help, some protection
from
those in the bar.
Oh, yes. Nice, yes.
But Bossk has a reputation. So literally people are like, you started this, Crumb. You're going to finish it.
Yeah.
Oh. That's
he hates
Bossk.
It when people call his face baggy.
We're familiar with Bossk. Yeah. Right. Like, he's been around these parts before. Boba Fett may be dead. But if Bossk is still after you, we're not helping you here. You're on your own, kid.
Right. So we think Bossk starts the actual battle?
I think there's a little chase that starts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe Bossk is just going to rough him up a little bit.
They're just going around the table.
Right.
Is that the Star Wars version of Benny Hill?
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, they're running, and Salacious B. Crumb is throwing the pillows at him.
Right.
Throwing drinks, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And, yeah, maybe even one of the drinks, like, hits. And it spills all over his perfect yellow jumpsuit.
Ooh.
And then he trips over it just like an idiot, like just big.
Like a regular Shecky Both.
Like a regular Shecky Both. Just arms flailing akimbo. He laughs. He falls. There's dead silence. Everybody's like, oh no, this is going down.
And
a laugh rings out.
Right.
That's right. No, Bossk has really had it. And
Bossk,
I think the blaster's coming out.
The blaster's coming out. He starts taking shots.
Yeah, he starts taking shots. And I think that a quacking monkey lizard is fast enough to just jump, right? He's everywhere, right?
He's everywhere.
So at this point, Bossk is just shooting random innocents.
Right. Well, and also, little known fact, when Crumb first showed up to Jabba's palace, they didn't know what to do with him. So Jabba had, on weekly occasions, on Friday nights, a target practice at Crumb, like when he was still kind of earning his keep. And Gamorrean guards and weird characters would take shots in the throne room there, and once after a while, like, this Crumb guy kept not getting hit, and they were like, you're funny, man. Jabba's like, you entertain me.
Right.
So Crumb knows he's got skills on the set.
Yeah.
But he knows he's in a closed area, like it's closed quarters. Bossk could take an advantage. So Crumb heads for the door.
Mm. Okay.
Runs out into the bright two suns there in Mos Espa.
Okay.
Into the town, center of town.
Okay, so you think he's going to get more innocents involved, more people to be upset, to block Bosk's way?
Coverage. It's about coverage.
Okay.
Right. He's hiding.
That's what's going to present a really big challenge for Bossk because of Salacious B. Crumb's size. He can dart anywhere, go anywhere. So how is he going to capture him?
Well, here's the hunt. He's got a good sense of smell. So maybe he goes, okay, this was a barroom brawl. Now it's a hunt. Now and hunt is where Trandoshans rule.
Absolutely. Right. And it's not unlike the scene visually, if this were in a movie, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Indy's chasing, looking for Marion in the baskets and the monkeys involved. Yeah. Like, it's a crowded city center here.
That's exactly what I was picturing.
And Crumb's hiding, and Bosk is smelling, mm-hmm. and he's throwing people out of the way, throwing Jawas, kicking Jawas out of the way.
Yeah, smacking Toydarians in their little weird faces.
Yep, yep. What are you doing? I'm a Toydarian.
Smack.
And boom, gone. And so they get towards the city center, like the real center of the town.
Yeah.
And there's like a fountain. There's an outdoor fountain.
Okay.
Crumb is running, and Bosk sees him. And people have cleared out by now, and Crumb can't hide. The only thing between Crumb or in front of Crumb that he could hide behind is a Happabore. which is also they're not just on Jakku, they're on Tatooine.
It makes sense, it tracks.
And there is a big fountain, and this Happabore, as they're apt to do, is drinking up that a big Happabore butt is kind of wiggling. Crumb is heading for the Happabore.
Okay. I like this. Mm-hmm. I think that the Happabore is Crumb's last desperate attempt because he knows that Bosk is going to physically catch up with him. He's faster. Mm-hmm. And he's never going to lose him because he's got his smell. And eventually it's going to have to come onto physical one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I think that that Salacious, with his beak, pokes the Happabore in the ass and sends it charging at Bosk.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's slow. Yeah, takes slow. A while to turn around. It takes a couple pokes from the beak, but now he's going.
Yeah.
That Happabore butt is wiggling.
And Jennifer, do you think the Happabore rams into Bosk, or do you think Bosk is fast enough to avoid a lumbering Happabore?
He's fast enough to avoid it. And he laughs now. This is his time to laugh.
Okay.
Is that all you got? That's right. Crumb.
I think in the meantime, that Salacious B. Crumb has used this to his advantage as Bosk is watching the Happabore, dodging him. Salacious has scampered up to a rooftop, and he comes flying down to Bosk's head, and he knows his one hope for survival is the eyes. Mm-hmm. The big, as Rusty Miller would say, bloodshot eyes.
Yeah.
And I think he tries to take an eye out and thinks, maybe this will save me.
Right. So he's hacking at, he's poking at Bosk's eyes?
Yeah, and I think in that same way that he was poking at C-3PO's eyes, he knows eyes are his source of weakness, and I think he likes them. I think he dines on them. Because that shot in Jedi is just sort of like, I'm enjoying this eye.
I'm enjoying this eye.
It's not really an attack. It's more like,
Taste is organic, but it's good. Yeah, this is definitely happening. Bosk is flailing at him. It's he's trying to grab, and he can't grab his blaster. Now his blaster is far away.
Yeah,
like it's moved. He's got small arms on him, but Bosk can't get to him because his eyes are being clawed at and beaked at.
Right.
No one likes eyes beaked at, and Bosk is losing his control a little bit. He feels the tide is turning.
Right. Yeah. Now, Jennifer, do you think there are other people around at this point, or has everybody cleared out?
I think that the majority of people have cleared out, but there are some onlookers, and everyone's just in shock.
Right.
I think that something that's problematic for Bosk is actually his hands. It's almost like if I were to wear a giant glove with claws on it, like you're not going to be able to have that sort of like a dexterity, the pinchers, you know? So I think he's really at a loss here.
Right. So you know what's going to happen is he can't really... He's not super good at grabbing, so he is claw slapping. Salacious is avoiding, and he's cutting his own head.
Yeah, this is getting bloody.
This is a tragedy.
Oh, this is brutal.
This is
awful.
This is going well, actually, for my little guy.
It's brutal, but some Toydarians are now taking bets.
Oh, yeah.
Watching people.
Some chance cubes are flying.
Chance cubes are flying. It's great. A lot of people are having fun with this, but I think Bosk manages to stand up eventually, pushes Crumb off as best he can, but Bosk can't see now.
Yeah.
He's just flailing around.
Ooh. Yeah, I think one eye has been taken out and the other's damaged.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, Bosk has a decision of, am I in this? Is my pride damaged enough?
Mm-hmm.
He's not about politics. He's not about vendetta. He wants to get paid. He wants the money. But is he so ashamed that other people on Tatooine in Mos Espa have seen this damn monkey lizard evade him, mock him, and then take part of his sight? Is he willing to back down?
I think he's smart enough to know, too.
I think so, too.
But this is the beginning of the end for our good friend Bosk. So he starts walking away, running away, scampering away.
Wounded.
And Crumb is now on the edge of the fountain, and he's laughing.
Look at that guy.
Sorry. Hey, that's good. That's good.
And people are like collecting money because everyone had Bosk. So now some people who voted against Bosk or voted for Crom are collecting money. There's this little celebration going on. Bosk can't see. He walks around a few blocks away, turns a corner, and runs right into the Happabor again. And the Happabor is nursing some injuries in his ass. He's had his ass beat.
Literally.
And Happabors ass beaked. Yeah. Aren't the smartest creatures, but they do have memories and they do have vision. And they blame, this Happabor blames Bosk. There's some screams from around the corner. People don't know what's happening. But all they know is that Happabor went home with a full stomach that night.
Okay. I'm not sure if I can go this far. So let's talk. Let's dial back.
I'm glad I finally took you to a place where you weren't comfortable with.
Oh my gosh, that's good.
Let's talk. I think we've reached a choose your own adventure moment. Yes. For that, indeed.
I want to hear the other one.
Might be the final page.
All right.
But okay. I think normally I've been taking a temperature of everybody of no one here is willing to let Bosk win, right?
Right. No.
So Salacious Crom must be the official victor.
Yes.
Right. That I'm fine with. I think Salacious, this is a titanic battle of lizard versus monkey lizard.
Yeah.
And monkey lizard wins.
Right.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And is not, he doubly wins because he's not even graceful in his defeat.
No. Mm-mm.
Or in his victory. Yeah. He cackles more because that's his thing. He can't be robbed of that.
Yep.
If he can't cackle, he's not Salacious B. Crom.
Yep.
Now, let's turn then to the button of the story. Salacious Crom, he scampers off. He skitters through the sand, laughing.
People are
celebrating. He's wounded. He's injured. He's afraid, but he's never, ever going to let that show. He's got a new story to tell on his from his pillow on every night open mic back in the bar.
Then we
must turn to what happens to Bosk because in Databank Brawl, the other character doesn't need to die.
They just need to maybe
win. Okay. I think I've probably said the opposite before, but this feels cruel.
Okay.
This feels, Jennifer, is it too cruel to you that a slow Happabor defeats and in fact eats and by the laws of nature, defecates one of the most dangerous bounty hunters in the galaxy?
I think
is that the fate we want for Bosk?
It keeps in line with Return of the Jedi.
Deadly bounty hunter's fate is to be consumed by a beast on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's why I can go along with this. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have to. I love how you painted the picture. All we hear are the violent screams.
Oh yeah,
and then,
I'm saving the audience.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just see the Happabor slowly walking by.
That butt wiggling. I'm open to hear the alternate plan here. Do I turn to page 86 or do I turn to page 77?
I think if there's another page to turn to, here's what I would offer.
Okay.
Yeah. That Bosk slinks away.
Okay.
He is ashamed. Perhaps he does see the Happabor.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they share a moment of commiseration in that they have both been shamed and mocked.
Interesting.
By Salacious B. Crom.
Right.
And Bosk thinks back to what he really wants in life. Like, he's been made a fool of. He's not happy about it. But that damn monkey lizard is just too fast, and he doesn't need to be ashamed anymore. What he wants is to get paid.
Right. Yeah.
And then he realizes there is money because of this. I saw all those goddamn Toydarians with their little chance cubes making money out of my shame.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to get paid. And I think he knows where the Toydarians drink. I think he knows where they exchange their credits. So he's like, oh, you think you got rich by laughing at me, Lotto, or whatever this Toydarian's name is.
Yeah.
Lotto the Toydarian is laughing, and he counter bets, so he got all the money. Oh my God.
Right.
And Bosk goes, and not only does he take the money from that Toydarian, then he murders and eats the Toydarian.
Whoa.
So he gets paid in the end.
Wow.
Wow. And gets
a nice sensible meal.
Yeah.
A nice sensible meal.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say his pride.
So yeah.
Okay.
Those
we have a split decision, and I like that.
Yeah.
I like that we've presented some options.
Yeah. So we've got the final firm decision that, of course, Salacious B. Crom wins the actual fight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then in the fate of Bosk, the cruel bounty hunter eat bounty hunter world, somebody is getting eaten.
Yeah.
When Bosk goes to lick his wounds.
Yeah. Oh my god!
His wounds may actually be licked as he's devoured by the Haplebore. Which do you have an ending that you wanted to present, Jennifer, or do you feel like these are both rich enough?
They're so rich, and I love that they end in bloodshed by someone. And I do love the Toydarians. They're but they won the credits fair and square, you know. So, but I don't know.
You know what? How I want to frame this for the end of the episode?
How?
I want to believe that after this battle, Bossk was so ashamed, he was never seen of again. And he passed into legend. And both of these outcomes, and many more, are stories that are traded at the bar where Salacious B. Crumb sits and laughs, and he has become renowned because everybody knows something happened to Bossk.
Yeah.
But was it shameful?
Yeah.
Or was it mildly victorious?
Right.
No one will ever know, but they share the tales as Salacious sits there, and he just...
That's not quite right.
Because the truth will never be known.
Beautiful.
Thank you, guys. That was a nice...
I like
that. That was a nice, deep, intricate one.
We always go to places we don't expect, and I think we pulled one out there.
We really
did. I want that to be canon. Gosh.
We'll see. We'll see. And Bossk might live in case we ever do any sort of tournament. We'll see. We don't know. I really do like him being devoured by a Haplebore, too. So that was it for this week's. Be sure to follow us and tweet at us if there are characters that you would like to see fight, and hashtag them databankbrawl. We do like seeing who you guys want to see fight. Jennifer, can you plug yourself? Where can people find you? What are you doing?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media sites at Jennifer Landa and my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jennifer Landa.
And how about you, Ken?
Hey, at Ken Navsok across the board, tweeted me and say that I was cruel to the Haplebore. Or maybe you enjoyed bringing a Haplebore back in, but you can follow me there. And of course, everything we do here on Force Center.
Great. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter is at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said, while no one was really listening to him, I care. That's it for Databank Brawl.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.